During the years that I served at the seminary, I would often fill in different parishes on the weekends when one or another of the priests was away for some reason. And there was a moment when the pastor of my home parish, where I grew up, Our Lady of Sorrows, called me and asked if I could come help with some masses while he was away. And I readily agreed, looking forward to being back home. And I went to open up the readings for that coming Sunday to find out what I would be preaching upon. And my eyes fell right upon these words from Mark's Gospel today. A prophet is not without honor except in his native place and among his own kin. I thought it was rather ironic. I told the people that morning that I would not be amazed at their lack of faith if they would not take offense at my preaching that day. Here our Lord is back in Nazareth, among people who know him well, where he had grown up. And he is not welcomed. The people take offense at his teaching in the synagogue. They think they know him through and through. Who is this familiar man who thinks he can come in and teach us something new? And he wasn't able, we're told, to even perform any mighty deed there because of their lack of faith. It's interesting, among the kind of questions the people pose to our Lord, or among themselves about him, they ask, is he not the carpenter, the son of Mary? And biblical scholars remark it is rather interesting that Jesus here is called the son of Mary, for the Jewish custom would have been to identify the child by his father. And yet, the people call him the son of Mary, and scholars think perhaps it's because Joseph by this point has died and is no longer around. Others theorize that maybe it was meant to be a kind of insult, a slur, if you will, expressing the offense that they took at him. But I imagine that our Lord was delighted when he heard the people say this. He was delighted to be called the son of Mary, because he loved his mother intensely. He knew her purity, her faith. And he would have been honored to be known as her son. This, by the way, is one of the reasons that as Catholics we are so devoted to the Blessed Virgin Mary. To be Christians means to live like Christ. And Christ himself was so very devoted to the Blessed Mother, to his mother. And so we imitate him when we offer her our love and our devotion. There's one aspect of our belief about Our Lady that is often questioned. I'd like to, this morning, do a little Catholic apologetics with you about this particular aspect of our understanding of the Blessed Mother. Apologetics is that defense of our faith against questions that are often posed. We call her the Blessed Virgin Mary. And the Church has always taught that Our Lady was perpetually a virgin. Not only before the conception of Jesus, he was miraculously conceived in the womb of a virgin, but for the rest of her life, she was a virgin. And sometimes a line from this morning's gospel is raised in objection to this belief, because right after the people ask, is he not the son of Mary? Then they say, and also, is he not the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? Clearly, if Jesus had brothers and sisters, it seems that his mother did not remain a virgin. What are we to make of this? Well, the Greek word that is used here for brother is also used throughout the Bible for other relationships of kinship. In the Old Testament, for example, in the Greek Old Testament, Abraham is called the brother of Lot, using this same word. But in fact, Abraham is very clear in Genesis, was the uncle of Lot. It was not a blood-brother relationship, it was a relationship of an uncle and a nephew. Later, after the Gospel, in the Acts of the Apostles, when St. Luke writes about the conversion of St. Paul, He notes that Ananias, after Paul had been struck blind, was the one called to care for Paul and to put him up and to see that he had everything he needed. And the Acts of the Apostles, Ananias calls Paul his brother. Again, using that same word. And yet these two also are not blood brothers. They're brothers here in the faith, brothers in the Lord. We also find out in other Gospels that two of these brothers of Jesus mentioned here, James and Joseph, are actually sons of what the evangelists call another Mary. Mary, the wife of Clopas, who was at the cross with the Blessed Mother and St. Mary Magdalene. So, at least it's quite explicit that James and Joseph are not blood brothers of Jesus. These are ways that we can respond to maybe our own questions and doubts, as well as the questions that others pose about this core belief that we have proclaimed throughout the Church's history of the perpetual virginity of Mary. Indeed, Mary was ever virgin. We might ask, though, in the end, why does it really matter? What difference does it make whether or not that is the case? Well, the Church has always held fast to this teaching because we see in the physical virginity of the Blessed Mother a sign of something spiritual in her, her purity of faith, her single-hearted, total devotion to the Lord. The Second Vatican Council, speaking about this, says that the virginity of the Blessed Virgin Mary reminds us that her faith was unadulterated by any doubt. Certainly, it is obviously the case that not all Christians are called to imitate that perpetual virginity of the Blessed Mother. But the fact is, we are all called to strive to imitate the faith of Mary. Her purity of heart. She is that ideal model of faith that the Lord has raised up to inspire us, and she helps us with her prayers that we too might have that kind of single-hearted devotion and faith in our lives. May she intercede for us right here this morning that we might participate in this Mass with great faith. Purity of heart, and that we might spend the week ahead living in our lives the full implications of that faith. Just as Jesus was delighted to be known as the Son of Mary, may we too, who are her spiritual sons and daughters, always delight to be known as her children. St. Gerard Majella, pray for us.